Jen.
It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, but not the best 60 minutes of your day for the Homer Hour on Thursday, because Jason Wilde remains on assignment. So we'll be up to you, because the one thing Brian Bulaga likes to do, other than talking to Jason Wilde on Thursdays, is to take your calls. Any questions you have for Brian Bulaga, 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Otherwise, Liz is more, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Otherwise, it'll be just my questions. I am never disappointed about Twitter and comments about me. And I don't know if it was a result of Wisconsin joining Good Karma and, you know, what's going to happen. But it did prompt Badger Pack Sports, Brian Bulaga. How would you answer this? When are they going to get you off the air? I don't think that was in reference to you. That was in reference to me. If you heard that on Twitter, and people should know, I'm never offended by anything on Twitter. The all-time great is somebody was upset with me talking about Hank the dog, and then he should get into the Brewers Walk of Fame. And they tweeted, F you and the dog, to which I said, what do you got against the dog? Come on. This is not really fair. And then someone else was so offended by what I said. They said, I wish you hadn't survived that car accident you were in. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I want to emphasize the greatness of Twitter is it doesn't tell anything about me. It tells you about them. You know a little bit more about that person, assuming they're not a, I don't know if you can do AI on Twitter. So good afternoon, Brian Bulaga. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. And how would you answer? When are they going to get you off the air?
I would answer. I'm too valuable.
Yeah.
They'll never pull me.
I've said that humanity needs me more. But this one I said, I heard 2046. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good.
Yeah. I mean, they have the Euchre show now. Euchre went on to the 90s. And, so I'm 71. So yeah, that would be 91.
You got plenty of time.
I could do a 1 hour show until I'm 191. I just let everybody know my answer off the air when people say, some who think I'm retired now, which is not a good sign of the listening audience. I said, that's not how it works. What do you mean? I go, they retire you.
Yeah.
So, and I would say that applies in most cases in professional sports as well.
Correct.
They tell you, unless I guess you're injured or you're that rare exception, but often, even if you're a Hall of Fame player, many times they would like to play longer than they do. And at some point, in one way or another, or indirectly, they say you're retired.
Yeah. Right? The market retires.
Yes. By how much?
That's essentially what it is. The market will retire you.
They did tell me one time in, I won't say radio TV, that you can stay if you want, but we're not going to pay you.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, I know what they were thinking, like you'd get some benefit from, so if it was TV, you're doing radio, and they would help your radio show, but I was a man of principle.
Yeah,
I'll work for a dollar. No, I won't.
No.
We have questions already? Is that true?
We have one relating to our last segment on KMB.
Oh, yeah.
Brian.
We do have to talk about that, because that's just
I've never, have you ever even heard of somebody buying food and not liking it. I think with produce or fruits, if it's sour or something,
yes,
you know,
yes.
or bread, if it's moldy inside or something like that. But just I ate it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Literally yeah. never heard of that.
Ashley in Tulsa, you're on with Brian Bulaga. Let her fly.
Thank you. Yep, thank you. So, Mr. Bulaga, do you have a comparable story to Hummus Wallace's story from KB, from the last
this
show?
This is a man of immense principle. I'm curious to see if there's any strange thing
do you have, do you have a comparable story to Battery Homer, if not?
To Battery Homer? Do I have a comparable to either of those? I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if there's something that I buy and I don't end up liking it, like, I just eat that. Like, that's just what it is. Like, you bought it. You bought it, you keep it.
I told
it.
You, Ashley, the man of principle.
Doesn't matter if you don't like it. That's your problem. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure the label said what it was. It wasn't like he thought he was getting marshmallow dip and he bought hummus instead.
I wish you were working at the store and somebody do that and you went, was it sour? No. I'm not giving you a refund. The boss says, no, you're supposed to. No, I won't do it. Get somebody else. It's against my humanity principles.
Yeah, literally. I mean, the battery one, I mean, since you had a battery issue, I probably would have kept it because you never know when that's going to creep up again.
Yes. I think I had one at home or I had already had one, but okay. I did think I probably should buy it. One, because if I don't need it, my kids would need it or something like that. But I thought,
no. It's not a bad thing to have. It's not a bad thing to have.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's not a terrible item to actually have, but like, that one's nowhere near to me.
But I will admit that I'm embarrassed by it, but that doesn't count because if I was that embarrassed, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I mean, you're not that embarrassed.
No.
And you should say what the product was because it works clearly.
Yes. No, so it's that's one of those small portable ones. I was worried that when I took it out of the box that you'd have to charge it up before it would work.
Yeah.
I was afraid I was buying it and it was not going to be worth anything, but I thought, hey, it's worth a shot. So save
nice
me
product,
a triple A.
It's
yeah,
a,
so those are,
nice,
yeah,
nice
anybody that doesn't have something in their car now in which you can start your car, it just is not thinking because they're not that expensive and they make them actually one. The last one I got is like a little bit bigger than a deck of cards and you charge it up and it works pretty well. Cause
yeah, I guess the one comparable, I don't even think it's comparable because it's not even in the same ballpark. Like if I order a thing of energy drinks from Amazon and they're like exploded, like I contact customer service and be like, hey man, like these things, I have like three of them that are exploded and then they normally end up refunding me. Like that's
legit.
But that's like damaged product that I get sent to my house.
Right.
Like that's different than taking a bite out of something.
That's why you go to, Costco where they have all these people that when you go there, everybody goes to Costco to eat for free with all the samples they have.
Yeah. The samples. That's why Sam's Club, there's got to be a policy on like how many days you can do this after, right? Like, I mean,
again, we'd have to find somebody that worked there. I would tend to agree with you. I mean, they know and have a pretty good idea of if somebody kept doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said on KBN or, you know, sorry, KB, if you spend $300-$400 at Sam's Club, eat half of it and then say 2 days, 3 days later, or a week later, I don't like any of this. You bring it back and you get all your money back after you ate your dinners and lunches for the full week.
Like, I think if we asked somebody that had managed a store or something like that, they would probably have such a story, but you're right. Food. Now, if I'm not sure that I wouldn't like it, you know what? I don't buy it.
Yes.
It's pretty
exactly.
Hard.
You don't buy
somebody,
it.
Somebody in the house would probably eat it. Josh in Kenosha, you're on 94.5 ESPN. Brian Bulaga, normally with Jason Woolley, but he's on assignment, so it's my questions or yours, and you've decided it's going to be yours.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, just on the topic of guys on air, do either of you have a favorite broadcaster that you like to watch or listen to?
Hey, Brian, for example, can tell you who mine is. Brian knows who my favorite announcer is, play-by-play.
Oh, yeah. You like...
I like me.
Well, no.
You can't say me.
You like my guy in Iowa.
Yes.
Gary Dolphin.
Gary Dolphin.
You like Gary Dolphin. I mean, and I like Gary Dolphin. That was probably... And to be honest with you, I love Gary Dolphin, too. I think he's fantastic. Not because I went to Iowa, but I think he's really good. I like Ian Eagle? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I like him a lot as well. I think he's really
good. I lose track of one's the dad and one's the kid.
Yeah, I know. But both of them I think are really good. And again, maybe this is showing my favoritism. I think Larrabee's really good as well. Yep. I mean, I've, now that I'm out of the game, right, and I'm driving home from soccer games, and I have to find a way to watch the game. Do I want to watch the TV guys, or do I turn on Sirius XM and listen to Wayne Larrabee? I turn on Sirius XM and listen to Wayne, and then just turn my phone on silent so I can see both. Right, like that's what I normally do, and. I think he's really good, and you know, obviously he's Packer biased, but like he'll say it straight. Like if it's not good, he will say that was not good. Like
yes,
he can be
a little edgy at times.
Yeah,
as he's gotten older. I do want to let you know that I give credit to Mark Tauscher because he was talking about when you're the voice or when you're part of the broadcast, like when. People ask me about Marquette. I say, well, I do the games. Like, what do you mean? Like, I understand if you don't think I'm accurate, if you think I'm biased, because I am biased.
Yeah.
And so then you have to decide, based on what you hear me say and what you watch, whether there's any credibility whatsoever. And I accept that.
You're broadcasting for Marquette. What are you going to be bashing them?
Well, again, but you can be positive. How negative can you be? But I accept that as part of it. So if they don't want to give much credibility, but I said that to Tausch, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm biased, but fair." And I thought, what a great line! That's one of the greatest lines forever for anybody, whatever your position. I said, coach, player, announcer, parent. How are you as a parent? Biased, but fair. I mean, it fits for anything. I said he just created something that that's what you would like people to say, but it doesn't mean they will. But what a great way to describe anything.
Yeah, I would have heard him on the broadcast when I think Iowa beat Wisconsin like 45-7 or something that. I would have liked to hear him some clips of what he was saying if he was fair.
I don't. Well, right. That's his view of it. That's what you'd like.
Yeah.
Do I think you can be biased and fair? No. Bias by definition means not fair, right?
Correct.
But to cannot combine the two is just brilliant. I wish I'd have thought of it. So when they asked me about Marquette, I understand. I'm biased, but fair.
Yeah, yeah, I think if you go with that, you cover all your bases.
Yes.
Like I think you're good.
I'm not sure anybody's going to believe it. But that's good.
Yes. It's very he's thought about that. Like that's been thought out.
I mean, it would work for you with Iowa. Yeah, but you played at Iowa. Excuse me. I'm biased, but fair.
Correct. I think I'm extremely fair about them.
I would say when they're also asking about announcers, and I age myself, but the greatest college announcer ever was a guy by the name of Bob Ufer. He was the voice of Michigan, and you just have to listen to some of the highlights. You cannot believe when you listen that this was over the air. He was incredibly biased and not fair. You cannot believe it. I heard him long, and I mean, I wasn't very old. A friend of mine was a Purdue fan, and they were playing Michigan, and they were able then to get in Indiana the – station, I guess, would be Ann Arbor, and it was live, and it turned out, and I said, that can't be on your radio. No, he's like crying, and Yeah, there's no way to describe it. You just have to go on YouTube and get the best of Bob Eufer. And when I was in Nebraska, there was before me, Lyle Brimser was his name, and he did Johnny Rogers, and he was the same way. And he closed the windows when he did football because he didn't want the crowd noise to disrupt his voice.
Oh.
And granted, that was when Nebraska was really, really good. So you still heard some of the crowd, but I loved it because I hate it when I'm watching on TV. Fox to me is the worst, where the crowd noise is just too loud. I can't hear the announcers. And I'm thinking, there's a producer somewhere. What are they, out having breakfast? The crowd noise is too loud. And
yeah,
doesn't matter who the announcer is, but he's the only one that I've seen do that. In basketball, I was going to Wisconsin and worked a job on Monday making pizzas at the Broughton Brow, and they had a radio, and I turned it on, and the Bucks were on. So it's 1975 or something. I didn't know who Eddie Doucette was. I'd never heard him, and I couldn't believe how good he was. I went in and said, "What was that? Who is that? That's the greatest basketball announcer I've ever heard in my life." He had sayings for everything. He was incredible. And I mean, everybody in the state knew how good Eddie Doucette was. But to this day, greatest basketball announcer on radio. And,
yeah.
And you
can't say that I've heard
him. Can't copy him, but you should go look up and the number of phrases that he came up with. The guy who did the Lakers, Chick Hearn, was the same way. He invented stuff. He was so good that they put his radio on TV.
Oh.
No, they didn't want to bring it. And clearly you talk too much. And I believe, someone can check this because Tony Smith says I make stuff up. Al Michaels was the analyst with Chick Hearn and did it only for a year and then quit because Chick didn't ever want him to talk.
That's funny.
I don't need an analyst. Michaels went on to be the great play-by-play guy. So you better you better check that up. It's possible I'm wrong on that. But no, they're part of it is our age, and you're significantly younger than I am. But radio, that's what people love in terms of their teams. And I've always thought that at some point, because all the games are on TV, schools will just have their radio people on TV. I mean, let's say Wisconsin. You know, I don't know if they Matt Marquette. Who wouldn't love Matt LePay doing the TV?
Yep.
Because you get that local flair. There's no way the national people, as good as they might be, can understand. I mean, think of watching Iowa football on TV with Gary Dolphin.
Well, yeah.
Everybody would love it. And nobody's ever done that. And every game is on TV now, and I just don't get it.
And I'm not trying to rag on, like, the Big Ten Network, but they would be much better than the Big Ten Network announcers. I'm just being honest.
Yes.
Like the big when I watch the Iowa games on the Big Ten Network, it's a little bit, it's a little rough, man. Like
right.
I'm not even gonna lie.
But even if they were good, you would still say they can't be as good and know as much as Gary Dolphin, who's lived it.
Yep.
And everybody in the state, you know, knows it. And to me also, then most people now watch on TV more than they listen on radio, but then you'd have both. But clearly I'm wrong as other ideas because nobody does it. There are a couple of examples, but not often. It is the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour with Jason Woolley. That would be the next segment, but he is on assignment. So the calls, Jeremy's already lined up. I said, Brian Bulaga loves to take your calls. So do it. And do remember, of course, whenever or wherever you're listening, we're live on YouTube as well. Subscribe. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. The biggest surprise in radio. No one ever thought, because we have ESPN Wisconsin or Wisconsin.com and podcast. No one ever imagined how much people would enjoy watching it on YouTube as they do now. It's taken over. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
But he is on assignment, so he is not on the Jason Wilde Yingling hotline. You get the calls with Brian Bulaga. Biased, but fair. All right, Jeremy, you're on with Brian Bulaga. Let her fly.
Hey, Homer, love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I like this hummus talk and the battery talk, but a couple questions for Brian. Thinking about training camp coming up, I know it's a lot of hard work and stuff, but what was your favorite thing about training camp? You may have answered that in the past. And the second question is, if you had to pick maybe two former Packer teammates to be in your foxhole, who would those guys be?
Yeah, foxhole question. Love it.
Good question. So my favorite thing about training camp, obviously, you know, the practices and things like that, those are a grind, man. Like, those are tough. But my favorite thing would probably be the meeting rooms. You know, you're watching the tape, but you're with the offensive line. You're with those guys so much that the meetings they become fun. Because, like, after you watch so much training camp tape and you get through it and you got time to burn, you just kind of have fun in there, and you just I don't want to say goof around because you got to get your work done, but the offensive line room's a little bit different, at least with Campy it was, and you kind of make the time go by, right? You get your work done, you watch film, you be critical of yourselves, you make the corrections, and then you have fun, and that makes camp a little more enjoyable. I mean, you're away from your family, your wife, your kids, whatever it may be. So the guys in that room are your home away from home, essentially, and you spend the most time with them once the season starts, period. You see your wife and kids barely, and you see these dudes every day for forever, and that's kind of what training camp is. So the more enjoyable it can be, the better for everyone. So that was my favorite part. And then foxhole guys, man, I have a lot of them.
You offensive line people all stick together. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, between that group of Lang, Bakhtiari, Lindsley, Sitton, like those guys, I mean, those would be the guys. I mean, two is very hard. I mean, we're a group of five. So two is very difficult for me. But I would say those four is an easy choice. Those are foxhole guys. And obviously I spent a lot of time playing next to Lang. So he for sure is in that foxhole, because I know the type of guy he is. But it's hard to pick two. That's for sure.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-990-3776. I love to ask players questions about other players, but I understand there are just some things you can't say. I wouldn't.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
And they're the best things.
Yeah, exactly. The best things you can't say. That's exactly right. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you could say good things about guys, right, and say some things, but the best things are the stories and private moments that happen inside the building or at family gatherings. Those are better kept for the people that were there. We'll just put it that way.
Right. I don't want to say it. I don't whatever comes with me saying that isn't worth what me saying it. So when people, and I don't know if it's the violation that I've asked you this before, and I think it's the part that people don't understand, is just how with everybody being so competitive, how close you get to your teammates, because they determine to such a large degree the success that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, you understand, and it's the thing you can't say. Like, I was a great player, but my team sucked. You can't say that. But
maybe Myles Garrett can.
Yeah, but it's right. But it's true, and that's why when you find a group that you're good, I guarantee you, you're going to like each other. There's just the victories and the respect for knowing. And that's another thing I think people don't believe in. You can say it. The respect people have for everybody they play with and against, because they know how hard it is to make it in the NFL and stay there.
Yes.
Even though they've done it.
And a big part of this is, too, you and I have talked about this a bunch, and it's true. Like, the guy you play next to, whether people believe it or not, is responsible in some point for your potential earnings down the road. If he makes you look like crap and he's bad, and say for offensive linemen, you know, he can't hang on a double team, or he whiffs on three techs or on TEs, he's whiffing on the three tech and the TE's picking me all the time and we're giving up sacks and pressures. That makes me look like crap. Like, that makes me look really bad. So into a certain point, he has some impact on my earning potential. So, like, you want the guy next to you to be as good as possible, obviously. You want him to be a fantastic player, but you want to have that tight relationship with them so that you feel responsible for each other. And, like, those are the best groups, is that when guys feel responsible for each other, right? Like, you don't want to let the guy down next to you because you know how that can impact them down the road. Like, and it's true. I mean, and maybe certain positions are a little bit more lone operators and things like that. The quarterback obviously has to rely on 10 other guys to make sure that he gets his job done, but obviously they get paid the most, but 10 other guys have to do their job, like, for him to make this thing work, right? Like, and that's where you rely on everybody to, you have to block, you have to get open, you have to catch the ball. I mean, you could be Aaron Rodgers as good as you are, and if Jordy Nelson dropped every single pass, if Davante Adams couldn't get free off the line, right, if David Bakhtiari couldn't hold up in pass protection, it's really tough for Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers, as great and like spectacular as he was. He made everything work. But, like, if guys can't catch the ball, what's he supposed to do?
No, and that's why I would understand if a quarterback wanted to leave.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, like, that's why I feel like the best teams and the best groups end up being the guys that feel like they're responsible for each other. And, like, that's why I regard that group that I played with so highly of offensive linemen, because, like, I felt like we had that responsibility to each other. Like, because everyone comes up at contracts at different times, right? Like, and everyone knows this is a big year for him or whatever it may be. And, like, you want to make sure that guy's performing at the highest level possible. So if I screw up and he gets and it looks like he gave up a sack, well, that looks really bad. That's bad for me and really bad for him. So, like, there's financial responsibility to it too, that people don't really look at it that way, but it's the truth. Like, there is a financial incentive to have a group that is tight-knit, because not only do you get great performances, but then everyone gets paid because everyone's looking pretty damn good. And that's the plus of having a really solid group.
I think it would be hard if I was a player, and, like, if you just have a bad coach.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
terrible.
We got no chance, but I don't know. I would defer to you on this. I don't know what's worse, a bad coach or a bad GM. Yeah. To where you go, we are good enough versus the guy just doesn't have a clue what he's doing. Again, things you can't say. That's why I'm more amazed or as amazed by Joe Thomas as any great player ever played in the NFL. There's no way I could have done it. There's no way I could have stayed in Cleveland that long. I want to experience something special given the ability that I have and how I could contribute to a good team. Not my whole career, but come on.
Some of it. I think because of how much time you spend around that coach, if you had a really bad coach that just the meetings were awful, the practices were awful, how, like, when you watched film, how he did things and the atmosphere, I think that would be worse. Because, like, that's, like, listen, the GM, the decisions are being made, and it doesn't matter if you agree with it or don't agree with it. Like, the decisions are being made. That's above our heads, and it always will be, unless you're the quarterback or people that have input on that or can have input on that. You become big enough that you have a seat at that table. For guys like us, like, that is, I mean, it's irrelevant, right? Like, they're going to cut that guy. They're going to sign this guy. That's going to happen regardless. But, like, day in and day out, our interactions with our coach, that's something that, like, impacts us majorly daily. And if that was off, and I can honestly say this, in all my time in the NFL, I have not had a bad offensive line coach. I've had great offensive line coaches, from Campy, Steno, to, I mean, it's been fantastic. So, like, I've been very lucky with that. And from that standpoint, because I couldn't imagine being in an O-line room with an O-line coach that stunk. And it was just a snooze fest and boring.
Am I correct? You'd know in a week, or how fast would you know? This is hopeless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the biggest experience I had for that was, and I had Frank Smith, who was the OC in Miami with McDaniel. He was awesome in LA. He was fantastic. But like the experience I had with those two guys, I think the one with Steno was the biggest feeling out process, because we were used to Campy. We were still in Green Bay and new coming from a different system, different scheme. Obviously he was a younger guy. So like, how is this going to work out? And I think by like the second, third week, like every guy in the room had a really good vibe for Steno and how this was going to turn out and how he was as a coach and things like that. And that worked out really, really well. And then with Frank in LA, because obviously I went out there during COVID, didn't really get to do anything out there until we showed up for training camp. That was my second year, because he came in with Staley. I had Campy my first year in LA. You don't know what to expect, but he came in right away and he was who he was, and great personality, great guy. I mean, just great teacher and all those things. So like you find out really quick, like like you said, it doesn't take a month. It takes about a week or two for you to be like, all right, this is going to be brutal, or this is going to be really good. Like, this is going to work out. Like, this meshes really well with this group and how he wants to do things, and guys are buying in. So like, that to me is a way bigger, like, what would suck worse would be the offensive line.
Because it's every day.
Every day, and it's hours and hours on end. So like,
it applies, but I would think in high school, especially, and a little degree in college, you understand the range of what's there. I would say even more in high school. But to the pros, the first time you go like, how does this happen?
Yes, exactly. This is professional football. It's supposed to be the best 32 guys. Like you know what I mean? Like
what were they thinking when they hired this guy? Family friend or something? I don't know. It's everybody's so good and so competitive. Even the bad are good. It's
exactly. So like that to me would be the biggest drag. And then it gets to the point too, like you're at practice and this guy that you think has no idea what they're talking about is ragging you at practice. You're turning around looking at him going like, you need to leave me alone, man. Like that's what you would be thinking. Like, and that's where like players you would see lose respect for coaching. It's like, dude, I don't like anything that you say to me, but I don't think you know what you're talking about, but you're ragging me at practice. And like,
and he's going to be there tomorrow and the next day. And
exactly. Yes. Where the GM, it's, you don't really have too much interaction with them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, depending on what team you're in, and like, they're going to make the decisions they're going to make. And that's final. That is what it is.
And you've said this before. We'll take a break in a second, because I've asked it. I'm just always fascinated by people that are good at what they do. Like, what's the most important thing? Like, if you had a friend who you knew as a player and is becoming a coach for the first time in the NFL or whatever, what you would tell them to say, this is just one tip I'm going to tell you. This really matters. What would you say?
I would say, like, listen to the guys.
Ooh, I'd be a bad coach.
Like, listen to what, like, you may have, like, but it's a two-way road, right? Like, you may have your ways as a coach, but that doesn't mean it's the only way, right? Like, there's multiple ways to win blocks or to run, like, there's multiple ways to do things. So don't go into this thing my way or the highway, because a lot of the times, if you go into it that way, like, you're going to get railroaded by the group, because the group normally sticks together. And like, unless you're Bill Belichick or someone like that, like, you're going to get run out of that room one way or another if you go into it that way. So it's better off to show them your way, show them how it may work and how it may be effective, and then see how they're doing it and see if you can integrate them together and come up with a solution. Like that to me is the best way as a coach going into a room for the first time is, how can both of your ways coexist? And if you can get to that happy medium, everything's good.
Everything's good. You never know when someone you care about might need a place like Curative Care. For more than a century, Curative Care has been helping children, adults, and families across Southeast Wisconsin navigate developmental disabilities and find the support they need to thrive. What stands out is Curative Care doesn't just provide therapy. They get it. And you know what I mean if you've lived it. You want something that gets it. And it's hard. They help families every step of the way, from early childhood through adulthood. They connect parents with resources, provide guidance during challenging times, and create a community where people truly belong. Parents said it, life is a bunch of curveballs, but this place is a constant. If you have a family member, friend, coworker, or neighbor who may be looking for answers, support, or services for a loved one with developmental disabilities, you want, visit curative.org. They get it. You'll feel that right away. Homer's right. They get it. This is tough, and they get it. Curative.org. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Log a Homer Hour. No Jason Wold today. He's on assignment. So the best segment of the Homer Hour all week, and that is Brian Belaga and Jason Wold, is gone. I don't have any difficulty saying that. I can appreciate others that are better than I am. There aren't very many, but I do appreciate those. No, on because everybody now watches YouTube. There was some mention there about that I handle. How about YouTube comments? And I said, nothing gets to me. I know how great I am. And as I said, YouTube comments doesn't apply to me, but and Twitter comments don't speak of the person they refer to. They speak of the person who makes the comment. And I've said this, when people say I'm an idiot or whatever, if you can't respond to whatever it is I say as to why it's wrong or why you disagree, it's a waste of your time and mine. I mean, if you think I'm wrong, then tell me why I'm wrong, and then I'll decide and address it to see if it fits. Like, for example, I don't know that Brian's going to agree. I want everybody to know that this is Luke Fickell's first year as head coach at Wisconsin. I give him a total pass. If I had been his agent, I'd have told him to quit before last season and sue the university for lying about how much money he was getting. There's no way he would have ever come to Wisconsin without the first question being, you got the money to compete with Michigan and Ohio State? I'm not saying as much, but they clearly told him yes, and as we now know, it wasn't. They were bottom third, and so I quit. Why? They lied to me, and I'm suing the university for lying to me, and we'll see what happens. They have ruined his image. It's not banner. What's the word? His brand. He yep. was the hot hottest coach in the country. And now he's got to prove he's worthy of even coaching because of what's happened. And it's all because they had no money. So I say this is the first year. If I'm the AD, I don't care if they go 3-9. He got another year because this is his first year. I don't know if Brian Belaga agrees with me on this. So you have that look like, Homer, why do you always just go a little too far?
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree to the point that they had no money or whatever it may be. But there's no way that they were, I guess, from a financial standpoint. I mean, how much worse off were they than teams like Iowa and places like that, I guess, is my question.
That's a great question, yes. I don't know the answer to that. But worse than you would think. But either way, certainly not to what he was promised. Yeah, that's the issue. But even with less talent because you have less money, shouldn't you have done better? That's legit. And now we'll find out. That's why I said first. Now you find out if he can win with money. Because they clearly have a competitive amount. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and to the point where I think it, now that he's gotten more funds to spend on players, I definitely think he's you got to give him at least 2 years to see how this goes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think there's,
makes
there's,
me feel better
no
with
doubt.
My opinion when you agree. 3-9, he might be in trouble.
Yeah, 3-9, he may be in trouble.
You can't, that's my rule. I don't know if it's yours. You can lose, but you cannot embarrass.
Yeah, if you get blown out like some of the times he got blown out last year and the year prior, it's not good. Like, you just can't do that. If you're playing the bigger teams and the teams that you normally compete with and you play them tight and you just don't, you don't get over the line, I think that's more respectable and it shows you're going in a certain direction. But if you're just getting mopped again after they've gotten you more money, supposedly go get better players, that means there's a question on who you think is good and who you think is bad. And that's like in the NIL era, that is the biggest no-no, that you have a coach that can't identify who's good and who's bad. And that's where he'll run into trouble. But
I agree totally. That's the amazing thing about Indiana, because the first year when they made the play, they didn't have all the money. He came from James Madison, brought players from James Madison because nobody else probably wanted him, and they won. And then, you know, I do this, I just feel so sad for someone like you. I know you made it, but if I were you, I would have been in $2 million and then another $2 million. I would have graduated from college with $7-8 million.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever do that. I would. But
I think about it from time to time of how much NIL money I could have made. I certainly think about it. And what that experience would have been like having that much money being on a college campus and the perks that they have now being on a college campus. Yeah. I
mean, how would you have spent the money?
I probably wouldn't have done anything different. I probably would have lived a little bit nicer place than I did. I'll put it that way. But I probably wouldn't have done anything different. Because I mean, I'd love my college experience and kind of how I went about it. But like, her example is like, I had no money. My wife, Abby, she paid for all the dinners. Like, when we would go out, she would pay for everything. She's an only child. She'd pay for everything. I didn't have any money. I had nothing. My parents, they would give me X amount of money, like, every...
Like, I lived,
Every semester. And then
I'd go to the dog track at Arizona and lose, and then I had to eat peanut butter and crackers
and return hummus
a week. Yeah,
return hummus. And then return hummus to Sam's. And then, like, once I ran out of that, like, normally, Abby took care of me and she, paid for the food and did all that. And because, like, people thought, like, we just got, like, food from the university. Like, no, we had one training table a day.
It's different now. Now they get all meals, right?
All meals. And they all have, like, these credit cards that they can use on campus. Like that work at like all the restaurants on campus that they get loaded every month. And then they have their NIL money that comes in. I mean,
what a country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just amazing stuff. And like, I just picture what my experience would have been like if I had that. And obviously that would have enhanced it tenfold, but, is what it is.
It is what it is. Yes, it is. Brian Bulaga, we'll close next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Now, this one's tough, but I got to vote what I think. Who is the best coach in the NFC North? The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. LaFleur, Johnson, O'Connell, and Campbell. Right now, Matt LaFleur, 39%. Ben Johnson, 25%. Kevin O'Connell, 19%. Dan Campbell, 17%. I voted for Ben Johnson. I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I think Ben Johnson's a little bit better. And we will see. I will be proven to some degree by how Detroit does, because I have them as worse than everybody else, because I think Campbell really misses, and Ben Johnson made Campbell a little bit better or as good as he can be. Take it away, Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put LaFleur at the top, but I think O'Connell gets underrated.
Yes, I should say something. Yes. I could see somebody voting for him at the top. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I think Connell's underrated. I think he's a really good football coach.
We'll find out this year with what he does at quarterback, because I'm anticipating there's going to be one quarterback very, very lucky that he's playing for Kevin O'Connell now.
I agree.
Yeah.
ask Sam Darnold.
Yes.
Honestly. Like, yes. I get Sam had a good year in Seattle, but
he didn't,
like,
make him. He didn't change him. He didn't make him. You're right. 100%
like,
right.
Like, O'Connell is the guy that made that ship start going in the right direction.
Yes, yes. If the Titanic had ended up making a good cruise, it still would have been the one who got it from the bottom.
Exactly. And that's, exactly.
Yes, O'Connell. So we'll see. I can't wait for the year. I've said I'm still on record. Every team will finish 3-3. You haven't agreed with me. The best you would go is that there'd be a tie for the top, but not four-way. Brian Bulaga. Sorry you didn't have Jason. I feel bad for you.
I'm okay.
You're okay. So it's fine. Good. I still feel bad for you and the audience. Hey. It's not bad being Avis, but I wish I was hurt.
He may be on assignment and can't do shows, but I always make sure that even if I'm on assignment, I try to jump on Wilby and Couch when I have to.
Good point. Nice shot.
He's busy. He's very busy, so it is what it is.
You already took the shot. You can turn your mic off. You can drop the mic now. The shot has been taken. I can't wait till he hears his response to that next Thursday.
He's about to start training camp, so he needs to get his R&R in. So I get it.
All right. Brian Bulaga, as he earns. ESPN National, in progress.